Celtics, Mago. So we talked to you last week, and a lot of people, including Dan Ball, our very own producer, called this a warm-up series for the Boston Celtics. A couple games later, doesn't really feel like a warm-up series. I've used the Rocky, where they say he doesn't think it's an exhibition. He thinks it's a damn fight. A little bit of a dogfight, but you're up 3-1. How do you feel about this series now as maybe what you expected to feel in this series?
I feel GTFO. Finish this up on Tuesday. Get out of there.
So get out of there. The beating?
I'm just worried about the physical toll that it's taking on this team. And I'm not trying to say like, oh, the fouls are out of control. It's the physical nature that you should have expected, that we all should have expected from this Orlando team. They're a really tough defensive team. They're big. They're long. They don't match up with you basketball-wise offensively. So they are going to muck it up. They even told you so. They told the Orlando Sentinel that last week. And they're making good on that promise. So at this rate, you know, you've got Jaylen Brown, who already came in with the banged up knee. He's got a dislocated finger. You got Jason Tatum, who the wrist looks great. Mm-hmm. So that's a positive. But he did have to miss his first playoff game of his entire 8-year career. And now you got Drew Holiday, who was just ruled out again for game 5. And that was a surprise to me with this hamstring going on. So I think if you can just close it out on Tuesday night, they got the late game. Tip off is at 8:30. Get out of there. Hopefully this Knicks-Pistons game goes at least another game. Mm-hmm. And then you get a little rest for these guys. Get these bumps and bruises iced up and get into the next round.
So, Mago, I was telling everybody about your column at WEI.com about Jason Tatum has been forced to play angry. And I believe Andy feels the same way as well. Kind of like this, and maybe not just kind of like it. I love it, and this feels like as we've
you want some more of it.
Yeah, I like it.
She fits right in with the lame ass jokes of WEEI afternoons.
Perfect, just tailor-made.
I was raised here.
Yep,
exactly. Yep. She was born this way. So I love it. I think this is, as we had discussed for a long time, like Jason Tatum needing to take his game to the next level to be, you know, MVP this year and lead the Celtics, hopefully, to Banner 19. I feel like this is that level, that next something he needed to unlock and achieve to help them get there.
So these back-to-back games that he's had since the wrist injury, he drops 36 in game 3, and it doesn't go the Celtics' way, the very end. And he drops 37 last night. And last night, he goes 14 of 14 from the free throw line. Mm-hmm. He hits 14 boards. He looked so in control last night. That's the thing that jumped out to me. He looked angry, but he also looked like he was totally in the driver's seat on offense. So he's moving in and leaning up against Banchero and then popping off, fading away, creating space on his shots. He's getting downhill. He's picking his spots, really. But the thing that also jumped out to me was I can't remember Tatum chirping as much and getting this chippy with another team or another individual as he has with KCP. Yep. And KCP, Caldwell Pope, is a guy who he knows because they both have trained with Tatum's personal basketball skills coach, Drew Hanlon. So it's funny to me because sometimes we look at this era of basketball stars, and we even look at Jason Tatum in particular and go, they're all friends with everybody. At the end of the game, they're all swapping jerseys. They're all shaking hands. Like, come on. This is like, they're shoving each other. KCP is shoving Tatum back. Tatum's just hitting him with the big movie star smile, like, ha, you don't even bother me. They're trading technical fouls. This is a side of Tatum that we just haven't seen that much of, and I think fans should love it. I love it. I like seeing it.
I absolutely love it. Even Jamal Mosley was standing too close to him when he was laying on the floor. He kind of brushed his leg away and then was in his face. Usually, those of us that tend to be somewhat critical of Tatum, generally we see the emotion on a basketball court targeting one person. They wear black and white and gray, and they're the officials. Like, he's usually, that's the person he's engaging, bitching about. That's how he gets technicals. This is the Tatum I want to see. This is a little 80s, 90s type Tatum. And this series, I think, has brought it out of him. I don't think this was his doing or even Mazzulla's doing. I know some people think Mazzulla's trying to push buttons with the whole get up and all of that. I think the Magic have pushed the Celtics buttons to some degree. They've sort of, in a weird way, played the series on their terms to a 3-1 deficit, if that makes any sense, because they can't really keep up scoring and that skill-wise.
I think that Orlando has made it as much of a series as they can.
Yeah.
They're just such a mismatch. It really is 2-on-7, maybe kind of 2-on-6, because Drew has missed so many games in this series, and certain guys from the bench have struggled to with this matchup. Peyton Pritchard, I'm thinking in particular, he just looks a little physically overwhelmed.
What's up with your guy?
Which is tough because in game one, he explodes with 9 points in his first 3 minutes and looked so awesome. And then I think some of the pressure on the perimeter and some of the forced turnovers are just... It's just a tough matchup there. Mm-hmm. I don't think it'll be indicative of the rest of hopefully the playoff run if they advance, should they advance. But I think that this is a tough spot for the bench.
Well, when they advance.
Polite and deferential and professional.
Like tomorrow night, it starts around 8:40. So by 11 p.m. when they advance.
11 p.m.?
Isn't that what it is?
I mean, I hope.
Oh, isn't it like 7 to 9:30?
I thought it was an 8:40
It's an 8:30 tip-off.
I hate it. I'm so
old. So it'll probably
on
be
a
like
Tuesday?
It'll probably be like 8:43. And then, I don't know. I'm expecting to get home at like 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah, it's going
to
be late. But no, I said earlier that this is a blueprint that some people are like, oh, are you worried you can get physical with the Celtics? Like, well, no, not really, because I don't think there's a lot of teams that play like the Magic or built like the Knicks aren't. The Knicks are going to come out. And with Towns and Brunson, they're going to try to score and play their game. It doesn't really worry me. If anything, I feel better about the Celtics' championship chances after this series. Fitzy, using your caveat, as long as they're not any long-term physical issues.
Injuries, ding-ups, and whatnot. And that's what Mega was talking about, the physical toll that this series is taking. Speaking of which, the head coach who has famously told us, you know, I like it when my kids get sick, you know, makes them stronger. He likes seeing Porzingis out there bleeding. I mean, he's just such an absolute sap. He does. Later on, we'll get into who's got crazier eyes, Jordan or Mazzulla.
Oh, Jordan. Definitely Jordan.
But Mazzulla, on the idea that the Magic have been super, he probably loves that they've been super physical with his team because it's toughening them up. But what was the quote? Joe Mazzulla on if the Orlando Magic have crossed the line with their physicality, quote, no one's been arrested. That's as on brand for Mazzulla as it gets, Mego. How do you think he's been handling the series?
I think he likes it. I don't think he likes having guys on the injury report, but even if you see some of the dust ups that Tatum got into last night in the background, you can see Joe just like, he wants to get in there. He wants to be part of it. It's the nature of the series, and every series kind of develops its own characteristics. And this one is certainly more physical, more of a dogfight, as you said, Andy, than a lot of us probably anticipated. Because I thought it was going to be a sweep.
Yep.
I thought it was going to be four games. They get out of there. I thought we were going to have one of these games that was like, you know, a 25-point game or something, because the Magic would not be able to hit the broadside of a barn. But this is where we sit. And you've had guys in and out of the lineup very much like you had in the regular season. I think the most important thing at this point is to make sure that your starters continue clicking as they did last night. Maybe it's just not a series for your bench, and you can reset and figure out what it's going to be if it's against Detroit or New York.
The one thing I really liked last night, although they didn't pull away till the end, because I said to Fitzy earlier, it's 91-91 in the fourth quarter. If that goes differently, we're having a very different conversation today.
Oh,
it's
2-2. It was the 22 Celtics, they lose that game.
Right. And but they didn't. We have to, you know, sort of observe and comment on what happened. And I liked early that Porzingis was going to the rim. Porzingis was getting those dunks, the pick and roll, the lobs. He was aggressive. And I don't know that I ever really thought the Celtics would win a lot of playoff games hitting 9 three-pointers, like single-digit three-pointers. That's just not how they're built.
Right.
They're going to shoot 55 three-pointers, and they better hit 20-something of them, or they're going to probably lose. Right? That's how we always feel about it. They went out there, and they won a different style basketball game without hitting three-pointers. I think that's sort of a good, like, put it in your back pocket. Let's not always do it. That's not how we play, but at least it's in our back pocket kind of style.
Yeah, and even late in the game, I thought they could have gotten back to the pick and roll a little bit more, where Porzingis, it's great that he started hitting his threes. He had three straight games where he was just completely cold from the arc.
0 for 11 or something?
Yeah, so it was great to see him hitting those. But even if you're trying to get guys like Luke Kornet and Peyton Pritchard kind of activated, the pick and roll game is where you can find spots with those guys. I just think that the Magic defense is so long and so active that the Celtics, if they can start hitting those threes later, as they did with Derek White, of course, coming in at the start of the fourth and hitting a three right away, like, that's going to be their go-to. It's just a math equation at that point.
Yeah, and as far as this blueprint going forward, you know, have teams watched this? Like we said, the Knicks probably can't play as physically as the Orlando Magic. But one thing I've noticed in the series, whenever Wagner tries to take Porzingis to the hole, like, he just blows by him. He's younger, faster, not quite as big as well. Do you think teams will try to attack Porzingis, or is there anything else aside from play the Celtics physically other teams may have learned from this opening series?
I think, unfortunately, like, some of it might be health-based if they're looking at the different injuries that the team has racked up through this series. On top of that, the Celtics over the last 2 years have developed real ball security. And I think that the traps that the Magic have been setting in mid-court, you know, it starts to look like the first time that kids learn full court press.
Right.
And you see on the other side and you're like, oh my God, they can't advance the ball. There have certainly been times over the last two games in particular when you see guys like Derek White, Jaylen Brown get tripped up by that trap in the midcourt game. And I wonder if that's something with as stellar as the backcourt that the Celtics have, if that's another lesson that teams will look at and go, okay, they still got a little bit of that turnover in them if we poke the bear the right way. And by poke the bear, I guess, what's the opposite of that? Because poking the bear means you awaken the bear. Maybe if you tranquilize the bear.
Yeah, put him into, what do they call it, slumber. I don't know. Give him honey.
I don't know. Make them turn the ball over.
Yeah. I was also glad that you led with Derek White and then Jaylen Brown. Usually people like to just jump on my guy Jaylen Brown and say he's the one with the turnovers. You are you a woman of the people? You want to take a call or two here?
Absolutely.
617-779-7937. Let's go to the phone lines. Talk to Charlie in Boston. What are your thoughts on the way the Celtics are playing against the Magic, Charlie?
I love it. It's good to see a different side of the seed. It's like the villain sees getting the finger in Carter's face after he dumped T. White. Like, it's just so good to see them playing angry. So I love it.
Absolutely, Charlie. I love it. We talked about Tatum. Horford has definitely been fired up. Porzingis had, I thought, the best old school hard foul last night, sort of that tomahawk down across two arms. I think it was Carter, maybe, at the rim.
We're ranking best fouls now.
Well, okay, so let's talk about that. So,
top five fouls these playoffs.
Playoff basketball has become a thing. I've been watching these other series. I watch Anthony Edwards shoving LeBron as he comes down the court.
This has been a thing all year.
Love it.
The NBA is quite aware that there's this sense of they're looking like a league where it's more like the All-Star game.
Yeah.
And it's just three-pointers falling and nobody gets to play defense anymore. They know that's a bad look. So this has been consistent across all the first-round series.
I love it. I love that it's swinging the other direction. You got Wendell Carter, and even Scal was mocking it on the broadcast. He kind of lowered his shoulder into Derek White, but nothing crazy. It wasn't like targeting in college football. And they did the long review, and Scal's like, that's not a flagrant foul. That's playoff basketball. And we had a texter earlier that was like, oh, it's not entertaining, it's the NBA. And I was like, if you're not entertained by this series, the competitive fire, whatever you want to call it, then you don't really like basketball.
Right, which is fine.
Yeah.
But don't blame it on the NBA.
No, this has been as competitive and sort of aggressive a first-round series between a defending champion and a team that's a couple years and a couple players away from really being a good basketball team, as you'll find.
I think most of the first-round series, aside from the Memphis series,
have been
that, which, if you watched the end of the Laker game last night and Anthony Edwards just going insane, like, so fun over there. You got the Pistons and the Knicks, which I would encourage everybody to watch because it will very much be a preview.
Isn't it great when the ref comes out and says, yeah, you should have had three free throws and a chance to win the game very easily at the line, but
would have loved to have heard that earlier, pal.
But honestly, we're so used to the first round of the NBA playoffs being like, ugh, just get past these bad teams and get into the real matchups. There are some really good matchups. And for example, with a team like Orlando, yeah, they're not a good or great offensive team, especially compared to the Celtics, But they have a lot of talent. They dealt with so many injuries this year that they dropped to the seeding in the play-in tournament that they were. Doesn't mean that they can't give you a competitive game night after night.
And they have a star in Banchero.
They've
been giving the Celtics trouble for years now.
Oh, yeah, like their style, they're aggressive. Weirdly. Yeah, Joe Mazzulla, the losing record, or I don't know if it's still a losing record with a couple more wins he's piling
up
here.
Belichick against Tua, just can't do it.
That's weird. And Belichick with Jordan. But we're not going down that road again. Before we let you go.
I
want to know what Mego thinks about. No, hold on real quick. I would like to know.
Oh, boy.
Mego, what do you think about the Belichick Jordan CBS this morning, Pete?
Big deuce. I would guess that interview went very poorly.
Yeah, I would say that's true.
I mean, from what we saw, I thought it went pretty poorly. But we're all used to the Belichick awkward silences and everything around here. I don't know that CBS Sunday morning knew that it was going to go that way. And I would sense by what they left in, I'm dying to see what's on the cutting room floor. I'm dying to see.
Maybe we'll get more.
That's a good point. I'd like
the unedited video, because now you got Florio, of course, with the report that she chimed in several. Jordan chimed in several times in that. I'm very curious what that dynamic was like on set.
Yeah, and the biggest issue is her just being there and being so forward. Like, Berge Najarian was his right-hand man that manipulated things in the background and off to the side for years. Every interview, Berge, you know, if you look closely, he's like behind that tree, or he's behind the... She's right
like
there.
Jim Gray in a Tom Brady interview, Andy.
Right, but this is like Bill looking over and her glaring. We're not talking about that. This was... this didn't go well. This was remarkable. Speaking of not going well, I say things aren't going to go well for the Knicks. I think the Celtics end this series tomorrow night, and then I think they sweep the Knicks. I don't think the Knicks are capable of putting up the fight that the Magic have.
The bigger question to me is how long this Knicks-Piston series goes. Do you think that they also close it out in five?
I do not.
Okay,
because
I think it goes six.
Yeah, I think the Pistons got porked, and it feels like the NBA will maybe make things a little better for them and at least extend the series a little bit.
Oh, you don't think the Pistons
them.
Are just going to come out with their hair on fire because they know they got screwed?
Well, no, I do, but I also think they will have three other team members on the court that are helping them score the basket, get to the free throw line, do whatever
but
they need to do.
But it's back at Madison Square Garden, so I could see the Knicks finishing the Pistons off.
No chance. In fact, during the break, I am going to go on my app and I'm going to place some money on the Pistons, because you cannot screw them like that, tell them they got screwed, and then screw them again the next time. You need to screw the other team, and then whatever happens after that is
I love the matchup. If it's New York Boston, I think everybody wants that matchup, and Boston used them as a doormat all year, so
yep.
I think it would be a beautiful matchup for you.
Mego, one last one. I know this is a basketball centric segment, but football has largely been on the brain today as well. Your Commanders draft in 20 seconds, and also congrats on the new stadium.
Thank you. Honestly, I feel like the new stadium is a little bit of the bigger deal to me as
$3 billion
Commanders fan.
It looks gorgeous.
Bringing them back to the RFK campus in D.C. I don't know how to explain this to you guys. It's not the same level. You can't make it the same comparison, but it's the closest thing I can do for New England people. It would be like if you took the Red Sox out of Fenway and moved them basically down to Gillette and put them down there.
That would suck.
And then that stadium sat empty and was ultimately demolished. And then a new ownership group came in after decades of just nauseating failures and said, we're going to build a new beautiful park on those grounds and invite everybody back to where the home is. That to me is actually the much bigger deal, because I already love the team. Like, I like the additions that they made, but I already love the team, so good for them. I think that getting them back in D.C. is just such a win for the fans.
Yeah, I do too. And I think it also helps to align with Jaden Daniels, and they went to the NFC title game. And, I mean, you're not crazy to think by that time, by the new stadium time, he'll be entrenched as a superstar franchise quarterback.
2030 is what they're aiming
for. Yeah, they're competing on an annual basis. Like, he could be the best quarterback in football by that time if he's on the same trajectory where he is.
He might be next season, Andy.
Well, yeah, but he also needs to stay healthy, because they've had young, athletic quarterbacks before that didn't stay healthy, and then it really spiraled out of control, and now that guy's doing broadcasts. That's RG3.
Okay, all right. Well, see, isn't it amazing? He's got a funny little way of just being able to take the littlest positive thing and...
I was trying to be positive, and then you turned me negative.
Did it yourself.
Appreciate you joining us.
Sure.
Glad you're excited about that new stadium. Glad you're excited about the round two matchup with the Knicks. We're just looking right past the Magic and the Pistons
crossed.
Moving on. And we'll talk to you next Monday, right?
Yes, absolutely.
You said that with a question mark. Let's say it with a
I thought you were going to say, we'll hear from you on Wednesday, because I'll be on the Greg Hill Show Wednesday morning.
Yeah, but that's not our show.
Okay, we're all of the same family.
2 to 6, baby, is where
it's at. If you want to know when I'm going to be on next, that's
okay.
When I'm going to be on next.
Listen to Mego on Wednesday morning, Greg Hill Show, and back here with us in studio next Monday talking about the Celtics rolling on in the postseason.